Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Chase the Wolf radio show. My name is Dan Meadows, and I'll be the host for today's show, as I am each and every week right here on ichasethewolves.com, also on blogtalkradio.com/chasethewolf. A little different show today. We started our first rollout. It's going to be of our Protecting the Tribe series that we're rolling out on Saturday morning. So you can find us right here on Blog Talk Radio on both Saturday mornings and on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can always tune in and call into the show. You call in live, be right on the show with us. Give us questions, comments, good, bad, and ugly debates, whatever it is that you would like to do. But this is a little bit different with the Chase the Wolf radio show, because it's going to be, again, the Protecting the Tribe series. I'd like to welcome everyone today. Saturday morning being a different type of rollout. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying warm. It was about 30 degrees here in Western North Carolina this morning. Calling for storm warning to roll in sometime later tonight. Of course, I kind of laugh. I used to live up in New York State and over in Canada. You know, that's where you really seen the snow. Over here in Western North Carolina, you know, they've had blizzards in the past, but I think someone said the blizzard of 96 was a good one here. Luckily, I wasn't living here at that particular time, but we're here now, and we're here with you, and we appreciate each and every one of you tuning in to today's show. I'd like to give a shout out to different members of our society, our public, as I do each and every week on the regular Chase the Wolf radio show on Sunday mornings. Again, I'm going to do the shout out as I always do as well. So these are the holders of the front lines. These are your military, your law enforcement, emergency medical technician, fire services that they have. Also the security professionals and medical providers that are out there helping to keep us safe, helping to keep us well, helping to keep us from away from harm as much as you can. I also want to give out a shout out to all the patriots who are out there, the people who stand for the Constitution, the people who stand up for America, people who do, in fact, put America first, which it should always be. I also want to ask for a moment of silence here in just a moment for the fallen. For those of our family members who have succumbed to, you know, different illnesses or injuries, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, both here in these United States and abroad, the military who may have fallen as well, I ask for a moment of silence, please. And I want to welcome everyone back to the Chase the Wolf radio show. This is Protecting the Tribe series. Rolls out, kicks out today, and I'm going to read the intro, as I do in our Chase the Wolf radio shows on Sundays. I'm going to read the intro. I'm going to going to add a little bit to the intro to give you kind of a understanding of what the Protecting the Tribe series is. It's actually taken from previous writings, previous articles, book that I'm doing called Protecting the Tribe. So I pulled different portions and parts of that out, and we'll be discussing a lot of that today. I'm going to actually go over about four different articles that I wrote and kind of break things down for you and give you a lot of great details for you and your family and your tribe and your mutual assistance groups and just a lot of that. So I'm going to go ahead and read the intro as I would each and every week. This is the first show of our Protecting the Tribe series. It's called Protecting the Tribe, Protect Yourself First, Last, and Always. And we're going to talk about a great deal of self-protection, protecting your family, protecting others as well. In order to protect oneself in the, from the evils of this world, the wolves, and our society as we know it, we must undertake great planning, preparations, and the development of a survival mindset in order to overcome those who would cause harm to you, your family, and to others. It is the next moments in our lives that we must be trained and ready for. I'm going to repeat that. It is the next moments in our lives that we must be trained and ready for. Follow us on our radio show and series that is taken from the very pages of our Protecting the Tribe book. Join us as we talk about real-world threats, mutual assistance groups, tribal protection, and surviving in the wilderness of the unknown. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that from our Chase the Wolf series, the wolves are not the wolves of the wild. They have their own special place. You know, I even support the Wolf Conservation Center up in New York that helps to protect the wolves of the wild. So again, it's not those. The wolves that I'm talking about, and I read it right from the headlines here. Our radio shows, books, and lecture series are geared towards depicting the wolves as the evil we see daily. It is the evil that we find in criminals, thuglians, corrupt politicians, corrupt elections, terrorists, hate groups, and so much more. We also find it in those who are hell-bent on destroying this nation of ours, along with our world, through destructive means, societal collapse, corruption, criminal acts, censorship, and, of course, terrorist events. Our Protecting the Tribe series is about how we can better prepare ourselves for when the shit hits the fan moment, a societal collapse, the surviving of you and others, mutual assistance groups, self and tribal preservation, community preparedness, training your team, defending your tribe, and so much more. Now, that's our intro, and I do appreciate you listening in on that and kind of give you an outline or summary, basically, of what this particular show is going to be about. So when we talk about things like protecting the tribe, I'm going to take two words. I'm going to break them down. I'm going to give you some definitions about what that is. So when you look at protecting, we talk about save, safeguard, shield, preserve, defend, shelter, secure, fortify, or guard. When we talk about a tribe, now you can talk about a number of different people. You can talk about the Native American, the First Nations people up in the up in Canada, the First Nation people, the Aboriginals over in Australia. So you talk about tribes and even in tribes in that are in, you know, the Africans, the countries of Africa. There are many tribes over there. Tribes as well as in, you know, societies that we may not have seen it for years, but they are out there. When we talk about tribes, we are talking about people. We're talking about even maybe a nation of people. Could be a family. Could be a house of people. Folk, F-O-L-K, folk. Could be kindred or clan, not with a K, a C-L-A-N, clan. Could be an ethnic group even or a race of people. Those are what I'm describing as a tribe. Tribe could also be people who are assembled together who are for a particular cause, a particular reasoning to protect that tribal element, that tribal group, that tribal council. I had the honor many years ago of being selected as a protection specialist to go up to the Lower Sioux Indian Nation to help protect the tribal council members, help train the security staff up there. And that's been many, many years ago, but it was an honor for us to do that. And they gave me a special present, a special gift for being up there. And I still have that gift. And that was, I think, from about 2006 that took place. So it was quite an honor at that time. So protecting people, that's what I've done. I've done it for many years of my life. I've done it in the military. I've done it in law enforcement, security professional, security consultant, security manager over the years. I still do that. I've been a martial artist since the 1960s, 65 is to be exact. I've taught many, many hundreds and even thousands of people how to protect themselves, either from hand-to-hand methods, using tools or weapons that are commonplace, stuff that you would find in your homes, just to protect you in the event of an attack or an intruder or something along that lines. And that's stuff that we're going to talk about as well. I continue to teach people how to shoot firearms and shoot firearms effectively, because just to have a firearm, it means nothing if you don't know how to shoot it and shoot it effectively. So we'll talk about that as well. But I just wanted to give you some of the definitions, if you will, on that. I've got a lot that's rolling out here, and I'm going to read some. I put notes down. I kind of prepare for these classes that I do, or I prepare for the lecture that I do, or even prepare for the radio show. And I take a lot of notes. If you know anyone who knows me, I'm a hard copy guy. I've got training notes. I've got articles that I'm going to read to you today, portions of those articles that I wrote back in 2012, 2013. So I do keep it both electronically and hard copies. I have binders upon binders upon binders of training materials I've done over the years. So I'm going to roll this one out. And when we're talking about protecting things, we're talking about protecting our lives, protecting the lives of others, whether it's family members, friends, third party people that we really don't know, but protecting them also. We're talking about protecting our home. We're talking about protecting our land. We're talking about protecting our property, if you will. And there's various degrees of protecting your property, and depends on your jurisdiction, where you live, how you can protect your property, and to what degree do you can protect your property, whether it's imminent threat of death or great bodily harm or sexual assault, and sexual assault having to do with also imminent threat of death and great bodily harm in association to that. We're talking about, whether it's looters, and I've done shows with the Shooting Channel. I've done shows with the Put It on Target or the Shooter's Rest or the Tap Three Times radio show, where we talked about protecting ourselves, our businesses against looters, against people who were destroying, both our businesses and our livelihoods. I've had numerous shows and conversations about that in many of the radio shows that I've been on, some of the news stations I've been on, talk radio, television series or whatever. I've talked about that also. So when we talk about the world is a dangerous place. No kidding. It's become even more dangerous here of late. When we talk about our society has changed. And quite honestly, within, the last even several months, the last several years, different elements of our society has changed for the worse. When you're talking about Antifa, when you're talking about radicalized Black Lives Matter who destroy the station, even if you talk about the Ku Klux Klan or white supremacists who have done things to bring disorder to this nation, it's not right. It's against the principles of law. And most of these people could care less about the law. They could care less about, your property, can care less about you. And that's so when I'm talking about protecting the tribe, protect yourself first, last, and always, that's exactly what I'm talking about doing. You must know and learn and be able to have a survival mindset to protect yourself. And that's where we're going with the series. So I'm going to read this. Crime is up, especially in cities run by liberal politicians who have supported movements like the Defund the Police or the Black Lives Matter protesters. Not all Black Lives Matter, and I've said this countless times, are you know, radicalized. They don't destroy things. They're out there for a particular purpose, and I understand that. And I support, you know, calm, peaceful protesting, but not when, you know, they say, well, it's mostly peaceful protesting, as they have in a talking heads of, you know, different mainstream media news stations. You know, I don't believe that when, you know, in the background, you know, a city's burning. I don't call that peaceful protest whatsoever. But when you're talking about movements like Defund the Police, Black Lives Matter protesters, the radicalized ones, the Antifa shock troops, as some of them would call the brown shirts or black shirts, now they're dressed in clad. And then you have those politicians who believe that, you know, we talk about, you know, criminal reform you know, corrections reform, and you can reform anyone that's out there. Well, I've seen and have arrested, when I was a police officer many years, people who never change. They don't change when they're locked away. They still have that criminal element, that criminal mindset. And so when they, you know, get out of jail, if they get out of jail, if they get out of prison, many times, many times more than you think, they go back to their old lifestyle. They might change their lifestyle, go into a different, you know, type of crime that takes place. So that does happen. But you have politicians out there, you have city leaders out there who, you have attorneys, you have judges out there who believe that, you know, it's better that we slap them on the wrist and put them back out in society. When, you know, when you turn around and you hear stories about people who get out and 2 or 3 days later to commit a horrendous crime, killing somebody, killing families, killing people, killing ones that may have been the ones who have put them in prison in the first place. So you find that. But when you get those same politicians, the same judges, not so much district attorneys, and some are leaving like that as district attorneys, but you get the defense attorneys who are out there who have a kinder, gentler approach to, you know, criminals, the thuglins out there, the career criminals, even those who are, and I'll call it as it is, illegal aliens are in this country illegally. They didn't do what, you know, many people that I know of went through the proper methods and paid attorneys to be able to come to these United States, you know, legally. But when you get illegal criminals that come out and they shoot and kill Border Patrol agents, They go and rob places. They go in and just you know, steal from some of these border town property owners that is out there. So you've got a lot of, you know, illegal aliens. Not all of them, but you have a lot of illegal aliens that come in. MS-13 comes in. You know, they're going to be coming through the border, and all these refugees. Well, I'm a refugee. I'm going to come in. And yet you know, these illegal aliens, these refugees, get more benefits than people who came here legally. And I am against that. And, you know, it's my show, my opinion, my thoughts, my feelings. If you want to come here and live in these United States, so be it. Glad for you. But do it legally. Do it the proper way. You know, don't get more benefits than those who have, you know, came before you legally. You shouldn't get more benefits than that. You know, what is it? Because, you know, I'm going to give you these benefits so you can vote for me. That's how the politicians are nowadays. When we think about or depend on others like law enforcement, security professionals to protect us here in these United States of America, we tend to forget that, of course, they are not everywhere at every moment of every day. When you get more and more societies, more and more cities, more and more towns, more and more counties who are looking to defund the police or don't give the police the support that they had, like back in the day when I was a police officer, police detective, police trainer, when they're not getting the same respect that they did many years ago, when they're not getting the same respect to help police the society, then you're going to find many of those officers have gone their own way. They've gone into other business, other industries, other places where maybe they even make more money, which, you know, I'm glad for them. But it'll start dwindling down. And when you don't train the officers, and everything was about training for many years, and I'm a trainer, I'm an instructor. I have been since the 70s. I believe that training is important for each and every one of us. But, you know, you want the police trained, but what about training society? Training society the way it should be, you know, these people talk about, well, you know, if you didn't pull a gun, if you didn't pull a knife on that police officer, then maybe they wouldn't have shot you. Maybe they wouldn't have tried to protect themselves. They, too, want to go home to their families at night. Why shouldn't they be able to? They should protect themselves from imminent threat or death. From those who are the thuglings, the criminals who want to, you know, attack them. There's been several officers this past week, federal agents this past week, past 10, 15 days, the first of the year. I mean, we're already up in law enforcement deaths this year. And yet, you know, they want to, you know, give the criminals a pat on the back. They want to give them, you know, well, why did they have to shoot them? Why did they have to kill them? For those ignorant people out there who thinks that you can shoot them in the leg and wound them, and there are many politicians who believe that, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. You can get shot in the leg and you could still die. Maybe you don't know the anatomy of the human body, but you could still die from that. So you shoot to stop the threat. You shoot to neutralize the threat. You shoot to eliminate the threat, so that you can protect yourself, protect your family, protect others. That's what it's all about. But the cops aren't everywhere. The police aren't everywhere. The popo aren't everywhere at every given moment. And so who do we rely on? Who do we think needs to be the ones to protect ourselves first, protect ourselves last, protect ourselves always? It's us. It's you and I. It's people who are listening on here. Now, you got a bunch of sheeples that tune into my show every week, and I appreciate you tuning in. And maybe you can, call in sometime and let's have a debate, because I never seem to have it. And of course, you'd like to call in. You can call in at 516-453-9103. That's 516-453-9103. I'll put you on the air. I'll debate with you regarding some of the issues that we're faced against nowadays about protecting ourselves, or shooting to stop the threat versus shooting to wound. You know, there's a lot of people out there who have guns that have, you know, they don't shoot well. Even law enforcement. I've seen it over the years. Even security professionals, even protection specialists, they don't train enough. They don't practice enough. And so, you know, you wonder why there's such a gunfight and you're not stopping the threat when you're not hitting the target. That target being someone who's trying to shoot and kill you. We need to learn to protect ourselves. We need to learn to protect others within our own families and our own tribes. You know, when we're talking about guns, and I'll roll this out because it's on my notes, my show notes for today. Talking about guns, well, you know, last year, 2020, was a year of unrest. This year, it's starting to be a year of unrest as well. Oh! It was the Capitol riots, the insurgents who came upon that. That is the problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, politicians, whoever the hell's listening to my show, what happened to all of the problems last year? You know, I went down to Charlotte here within the last several days, and last week as well. On a business-related matters. There's a sign up there. It's an electronic sign and has to talk about, if you saw something, say something about, you know, anybody, any person associated to the Capitol riots, you know, contact the FBI offices, contact the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, whatever, and report that crime. Well, where in the hell were the electronic signs and stuff like that in, let's say, Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, places like that, that have had all of this Antifa violence. Black Lives Matter radicalized violence out there. Anarchists that's been out there. People who's been destroying even the Democratic buildings and stuff like that. You know, you thought, oh, everything's over. You know, all of this Antifa bullshit is over. All of this stuff that took place in the year of unrest of 2020 is over. Well, no, it's not. And the Antifas have already, you know, stuck their ugly heads up, and they are out there, and they're making their presence known once again. They're occupying buildings, occupying hotels. That's not what we're talking about. And when you think about that, and you think about the stand-down orders that many police agencies have been given from city mayors, you know, governors of the states and such as that, you know, there is a real problem there, because, you know, it's okay for them to destroy your business, but you know, these radical, and I don't condone it. I don't condone what took place at the Capitol building. It should have been all peaceful protests, but they had a feeding frenzy. Whether there was embedded Antifa people, embedded Black Lives, radicalized Black Lives Matter people that's in there, whether it was, you know, whether it was whomever, if it was, you know, some other, you know, white supremacist group, Ku Klux Klan, whoever, who helped to storm the Capitol building. Well, you know, there is a problem. There's an absolute problem with that when they do that. Now that you see, oh, well, for a political party to talk about President Donald J. Trump's wall on the southern borders of these United States, and yet look at what took place on January 6th, or prior to January 6th, place up there. And then when you had the inauguration around January the 20th, what got erected? What was put up? What took place? You had military troops moved in there. And by the way, Biden administration, whoever, you're not treating those troops very well up there in Washington, D.C., whoever told them to stand down and go lay and sleep and share one bathroom with, you know, 5,000 plus members or more. That's absolutely crazy. But look what's around, you know, the White House now. Wasn't there a fence erected? I don't know if it's still down or not. I haven't looked at videos or pictures within the last few days. Wasn't there fencing put up and green zone type areas that was around Washington, D.C. on the date of the inauguration, and whole bunches and bunches and bunches of American flags out there versus people just to keep social distancing happening? Unbelievable. Crazy. You know, last year, in the year of unrest, there was over 17.2 million guns sold in these United States. 17.2 million. What does that tell you? When you're trying to defund the police and then the crime rises in those particular cities and towns and states and stuff like it, you wonder why. Well, you defund the police. You've removed the police. You've had police officers who've retired because they don't want to put up with the political bullshit that is done by many of these political parties. You know, in 2016, there was 15.7 million guns that were bought. And that was around the same time of an election, around that same time. So I find that interesting. But it's up from 15.7 to 17.2 million. Lots of background checks went with that, ladies and gentlemen, that you want to do. We'll talk about H.R. 127 here in a bit as well. This is kind of a rollout on protecting yourself and to show you basically how dangerous our society has become, how dangerous our world has become. You know, you want to talk about Russia, and China and how great they are and such as that. Well, you know, each country should stay to themselves. They should be, you know, do business dealings and such as that. But it shouldn't be that, you know, China takes over the United States with communism or socialism, or Russia should come to the States with communism and socialism as their objective. And you know that's what the objective is. You absolutely know that's what they're talking about. So I'm going to go to a break, take just a couple of minutes or a minute or so to go to a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk more about protecting yourself first, last, and always. This is Dan Meadows with the Chase the Wolf radio show, Protecting the Tribe series, and we'll talk to you on the other side of the break. And welcome back, everyone, to the Chase the Wolf radio show. This is the Protecting the Tribe series we do on Saturday mornings now. If you would like to find out more about us and our shows and what we've got going on and some of the books and lecture series that we have, go to ichasethewolves.com. That's wolves with an S on it, ichasethewolves.com. Each and every week on Saturday, Sunday mornings at 10, you can get us right here live on blogtalkradio.com/chasethewolf. You can find us on the facebook.com /ctwmediagroup.cwp. We are on Twitter still, twitter.com/ctwmediagroup. I would say we're on Parler, but they've wanted to do a little bit of censorship on that. And then the CEO stepped down, and A lot of interesting events taking place with that. But anyway, that's what it is. You can call us. You can call us right now. Call us to the end of the show today, right here on the Chase the Wolf radio show at 516-453-9103. That's 516-453-9103. Appreciate everyone being here today. I'm going to try to delve more into this and then get into some of those articles as well. You talk about protecting yourself first, last, and always. We talk about self-protection. We talk about protecting ourselves. We're talking about survival mindsets. You have to develop a survival mindset, and I'm going to cover those in a couple of these articles that I've got. When you talk about self-defense, there are self-defense laws in each and every state in these United States. You need to do a bit of research. You need to look into it. You need to find out what you can do and how you can do it and how you can lawfully do it. And for those who want to try to maintain some semblance of law about you, I watched a shooting video last night, I believe. Yep, last night, where these two people were out, and it's kind of a, you know, it's an urban neighborhood. Guy went out, go clean the snow off of his driveway. Another set of people came out, and there's been obviously some bad blood there, bad arguments and stuff going on. And one person threatened the other. The other guy went in, got a gun, came out while they were doing their snow shoveling of their driveway, and shot and killed one lady, and shot and killed another man. I don't know what their relationship was, the man and the woman, but shot and killed them both. And then not only did he shoot them and put them down with a handgun, he went back and got a long gun and then tried to finish them off. So, you know, that takes place. So, you know, there's turf wars, there's border wars, there's a property wars that goes on. There's neighbors who don't like neighbors. And that's the kind of society we live in nowadays, that someone would pull out a gun and shoot you for maybe no apparent reason whatsoever. You have to learn self-preservation, but you also need to know those laws for the state. What can you legally do to protect yourself? I wrote a story called 911. I just shot someone. It was part of a radio series. It was part of numerous articles. It's been all over the Shooting Channel. It was all over the Daily Caller. It's still up at the Daily Caller website. You can find it right there. Just put in my name, Dan Meadows, and then put 911. I just shot someone. Make sure you put my name in there, because if you don't, you'll get probably every 911 type of article that was ever out there. And there are, it was, I think at one time, 397,000 different articles. I don't think you want to filter through all that just to find my article. But anyway, 911, I just shot someone, by Dan Meadows. Good article to read. When we're talking about self-preservation, well, how do you do that? You got to train yourself. You got to train yourself both for, in self-defense, could be different types of martial arts. I tell you, I've been a martial artist since, 65. I suggest and recommend, if you're looking to get into martial arts, once this COVID crap gets over with and you can, get a little bit more, social distance closer to one another, not socialist distance, but social distance closer to one another, then maybe you could get back into the martial arts. And there's a lot of great schools out there. You want to pick and choose. You want to shop around a little bit. You want someone who's going to teach you real world self-defense, not some, Hong Kong phooey type stuff that's out there. You need to also train, in different aspects of hand-to-hand, whether it's stand-up fighting, ground fighting, grappling type fighting. You need to know that. In-close fighting techniques, not long-range, kicking, flashy kicky type stuff, because I've seen many flashy kickies get put that right down on the ground over the years. Baton weapons, stick weapons, impact weapons, things that you've got in your home, environmental weapons that you've got, knives that you've got in your kitchen, things like that you need to learn to train with. And so when we're talking about edge weapons, there's some great instructors out there as edge weapon instructors. And many of you carry edge weapons with you, even though you say, well, it's for opening boxes. And yeah, I understand that. But, how easy is it to get to that tactical weapon? Are you right-handed? Are you left-handed? Are you ambidextrous? Are you able to, use, edge weapons, impact weapons, stick-type weapons with either hand? That's the type of training that you need to look into and need to try to get yourself into as well. You talk about firearms training, just handguns, shotguns, rifles. That are available. What's the best gun for, home defense? Well, it's a shotgun. You don't have to be too damn accurate with a shotgun. You need to put it on target. You need to hit, where it hits in the vitals to at least stop threat, as you would with a handgun or even a rifle. The politicians, left-leaning politicians, your Democrats, your liberals, they want to do away with your guns. And there's Sheila Jackson Lee out there is proposing that H.R. 127 that's really going to put a damper on things. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. So you have handgun, rifle, shotguns that are available to you. If you listen to Joe Biden several years ago, there was a little jingle put out, buy a shotgun. Well, and then what he wanted you to do was go outside and fire two rounds in the air just to scare people off. Most of the time that doesn't. Now you just depleted your ammunition. And, now what are you going to use? Now you got to go reload maybe. Maybe you only have a shotgun that holds three shotgun shells. Now what do you got to do? You just wasted two because Joe told you to. And there are several people that have been arrested because they've done exactly what Joe Biden told them to do years ago. Go outside and fire a shotgun in the air, scare people off. And then they ended up getting arrested. Well, Joe Biden told me to do that. I don't think I'm going to take his advice on anything along that line. Trust me on that. When you're talking about surviving, you're talking about surviving the threat. Now, that's any threat. And you'll see that in many of my writings, many of my articles that I put out. Survive the threat, any threat that is against you, against your family, against others that you are, needing to protect. I have the TAP3X group of companies, TAP3Time, TAP3X. So just, you know, the TAP part of it is being trained, armed, and prepared. Trained, armed, prepared. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a gun that you're trained with. It doesn't necessarily mean it's an edged weapon you're trained with, or an impact weapon. Maybe all of them. But that you are trained, armed, and prepared. Prepared is, you know, preparation, the survival mindset, as we do. Trained, armed, prepared. You want to train yourself. You want to be armed with a variety of weapons. And you want to understand, you know, the principles of firearm usage, safety of the firearms, you know, muzzle direction, such as that. I interviewed a guy for a position yesterday in an armed position. You know, that's exactly what he said as part of his interview process is, you know, muzzle direction is very important. You're right. That business end of the gun is very important. Safety is very important with that gun, you know, keep your finger off the trigger, keep it pointed in a safe direction. That's the kind of things you need to remember when you're using firearms. Keep it safe away from children. Lock it up. Now, everyone here probably has, you know, they know their own environment, their own, you know, household, people that come in. You got to keep the guns safe and away from them. But if you look at that HR 127, they want you to keep your guns locked up at all times. They don't want you to have it, you know, quick access to it in case those intruders break into your home. I often use a phrase, train up, armor up, mount up. When I'm talking about, you know, standing your ground, protecting yourself, protecting others. You know, when we talk about protect yourself first, last, and always, if you've flown, and of course, if you've flown here recently, it's a little bit different with the mask on and everything. But part of your introduction to flying and your safety measures they put out is that if the plane gets into some type of mechanical trouble, some type of trouble, and the oxygen masks are deployed, they tell you to put your mask on first and then place it on others. Well, if you're talking about protecting yourself first, last, and always, how can you protect others if you don't protect yourself? How can you protect others if you don't take reasonable steps and safety measures to do just that? You know, just because you have a gun and you aim it at someone else doesn't mean that they're not shooting back. Oh, yeah, let's go. It's crazy. North Carolina, state of North Carolina, when they do the concealed carry class, well, they tell you need to shoot at a target at 3, 5, and 7 yards. It is a static target. It's not moving. It's not getting off the X. It's not shooting back at you. And yet they want you to hit it. And they don't care if you hit the silhouette. If you've put a silhouette target up, they don't care if you've hit the silhouette, long as you hit the paper. You know, out of 30 rounds, as long as you get 21 rounds on target, or you know, 31, 32 rounds on target if it's a 40 round course, they want you to, you know, make sure you did that. When I trained the people in concealed carry and other classes, I taught them you know, center mass, but I also taught them how to do headshots as well. Tap 3 times, 2 shots to the chest, 1 shot to the head. Stop the threat. If they're shooting at you, if they're trying to take out you, they're trying to take out your family, they're trying to take out your friend, it's an imminent threat of death, a great bodily harm to you, sexual assault, if it's an imminent threat of death, great bodily harm to you, then stop the threat. How do you stop the threat? Hit center mass. Don't shoot them in the leg. Don't shoot them in the shoulder. Don't shoot the gun out of their hand. Shit, you probably can't even shoot that good anyway, so you better be aiming at center mass. Practice. You got to practice always. Protecting yourself. Who are you talking about? Yourself, your families, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbor, your tribe, your MAG, your mutual assistance group. Property that you can protect. There's protect against looters and such as that. And different states have different laws. You need to know what those laws are for that state. You need to fight when you're protecting yourself. You need to fight like your life depends on it, that other people's lives depend on it, because bless goodness, it probably does. If you've had to result, you know, you don't pull out a gun, wave it, you know, sideways like some of these gangbangers try to do and try to, you know, threaten somebody with a gun. You know, if you've you know, if you have escalated your defense up to pulling a gun and pointing it at somebody, what's next? Do you shoot them or you de-escalate? That's something that you have to, you know, determine within microseconds. You don't have a lot of time. You don't have time to stand there and go all Danny Glover on them and like you're trying to shoot a static target or something like that. You know, roll your head around, get your shoulders all ready, stand at that, you know, particular stance, your shooting stance that you're doing. You don't have all that time. You need to be able to, you know, you go to a gun range and you put your gun on a table there and you put your box of ammo there and such as that, and you shoot with one magazine and not with two or three magazines. You don't let them drop on the ground and do a tactical reload and stuff like that. You are going to lose a gunfight, most probably. You need to practice how you carry. You need to draw from a holster, not shoot yourself in the foot, not with your finger on the trigger. Draw from a holster, engage your target, and then put it on target, and then squeeze the trigger if it's required and necessary for you to do that at that time. You know, some people would say, and if you've never been in a fight, you probably don't know what it is to try to protect yourself. Many of us have. Many of us have not. Many of us have been gun battles. Many of us has not. You know, there's that you know, Karate Kid, Cobra Kai thing, strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir. Well, in some cases, it has to be that. You have to have that survival mindset and realization that if I have to protect myself and protect others, sometimes I might have to strike first. Sometimes I might have to strike hard. Sometimes I may not have to show mercy, like shooting them in the foot. Don't shoot yourself in the foot, but they're shooting them in the foot, shooting them in the leg, shooting them in the arm, shooting a gun out of the hand. Again, most of you can't shoot. You're not practiced up. I talk to people all the time about going into armed positions or protectionist positions and such as that. And I asked them, well, when's the last time you shot a handgun? When's the last time you shot a long gun? When's the last time you practiced? And if they tell me months and years, then they're probably not going to be considered at all. If they don't own a handgun, they're probably not going to be considered at all for certain positions. You need to be on top of your game. You need to be that modern day warrior who can protect themselves always. As we go along, that survival mindset, you need to know yourself. You need to know the people who are in your tribe or your mutual assistance group members. You need to know them. You need to know what their skills, and they talk about knowledge, skills, and abilities, KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities. What are they? What are your knowledge, skills, and abilities? How often have you refined that? How often have you sharpened your skills up? You know, when you watch the movie with Liam Neeson in it, it's called Taken. And, you know, he has a certain set of skills. He has a set of skills. Well, absolutely he does. And that, you know, in that movie setting, what are your skills that you bring to the table when you talk about protecting yourself and others? You need to know your team. If you have a team, a group of people, a mutual assistant group of people, a training team, you know, some people say, oh, militia, and we know what they do and what all the patriots do and stuff like that. No, you don't. Not all militias are, you know, trying to overthrow the government. Not all militias or anything more than, you know, oath keepers or something like that. They took an oath to protect the Constitution of these United States. Are there bad people on both sides? Right wing, left wing extremists? Yes, there are. I'm not against any violence. You know, I'm not for any violence. I'm against the violence, wherever it comes from. I've always, you know, since I was a kid, I protected other kids from being bullied. That's the type of person I've been. That's the person I still am. You need to train yourself in, you know, you train yourself, your weapons, other things. You need to talk about, you know, things that are going to, you know, with your group, with your family or other members, what's your game plan if your intruder comes to your house? What's your game plan if you're at work and protect yourself? A lot of these businesses, they won't let you carry a gun in. I went to a mall yesterday to look at a security team that was there, and a big old sign on there, no firearms, no firearms. And you see that quite often. Yet, do the criminals, do the thuglings think about that? Do they care about what your sign says or what the law says or that they're carrying illegally anyway? That they're a, you know, multi-timed felon and they're not supposed to have a gun? You think they care about that? They just hope they don't get caught. That's all. But they're going to use it. They're going to use it against you. They're going to use it against others. You know, Democrats are talking about gun control measures. We had a show here recently about the dismantling of gun rights by packs of wolves. And so the Democrats are rolling out the Sheila, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. She's from the state of Texas. I'm surprised that the state of Texas has Democrats, but I guess that's just me. She has proposed HR, which is a House Resolution 127. And it talks about things, and I'll just get touch it briefly on all of it. You know, you have to be 21 years of age. There's things about psychological evaluations, additional gun safety measures that needs to be taken, about locking your guns down and not having access to it in case the damn intruders come in your house. You've got to have a minimum of training. Now, I'm a training guy. I'll tell you, I believe in training. I think you should be trained with a firearm before you ever carry it, you ever use it. Go get trained up. I'm for that. But they want a minimum of 24 hours of training. They want you to get insurance, which may cost $800 or more. And they want insurance on all your guns, not just a few of them. They want you to renew this licensing thing that they're talking about every 3 years. They want particular licensing and registration for military-styled weapons, certain rifles, shotguns, even pistols. They want capacity limits like they have in the state of New York California out there. The communist, not everybody out there is communist. Please don't send me in hate mail. But California, as I've heard it called many times, what I'm calling it now, 10-round limits to your magazine. Well, you know, if you listen to Andrew Cuomo up there, you don't need more, 10 rounds to shoot a deer where I'm not out hunting. I might be out trying to protect myself. And the thuglings don't care. And they'll have those 32 and 33 or 34 round magazines that are out there, not clips. They're called magazines. May have those out there. And they don't care. And then they load up and then they're all carrying pretty much anyway. Talks about registration. HR 127 talks about registration of firearms and, particular fines if your firearms are not registered. You know, fines anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 and anywhere from 15 to 25 years imprisonment for not doing it. Then they want bans on certain ammunitions and bans on 50 caliber and larger. Well, I don't know. A lot of people have a lot of 50 caliber ammunitions. You're just lying around or have something that will shoot it. But anyway, just remember, these are all Second Amendment challenges. These are all the Biden, Harris and their administration. These are the challenges that we are faced with now. And this is one. You know, when the GOP, I'm going to say it like this. When the GOP gave up the House, gave up the Senate, gave up the White House, through election fraud, whatever that you want to call it, whether you believe that or not, whether you think I'm a conspiracy theorist or not, when they gave up all that, now we're talking about infringements of a number of rights, First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights. Those are going. So GOP, you better get on the bandwagon. You better get things going because this is what's going to take place. This is what's going to happen here in the future. I've got just a few minutes left. A couple things I want to touch on. Urban Defenders taking a stand. I've got four of them. Urban Defenders taking a stand, protecting our homeland. Tactically speaking, hand-to-hand survivalist. Know your weapons and know yourself. A lot of great articles that I've got that's out there on the internet. If you would like maybe to send you a copy of it, I can do that maybe electronically or whatever. It looks like no one decided to call me once again today. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants to do me. Nobody wants to debate against me. So it is what it is. A couple of things I'll read from each one of these. If you read a newspaper at all, search on the internet, you'll read, we live in troubled times here in America. You think? When the laws of land gives criminals more rights than that of its victims, then yes, we live in troubled times. At what point do we as Americans, as families, or as individuals have a right to protect ourselves from taking a stand? And some of these that I'm doing, just going to read a couple of lead-ins and then go to our next show, which is tomorrow, and then next week's shows as well. Protecting yourself, your family, and other and your property in a rural setting or environment is a lot different from our urban neighbors who live in the city, towns, and suburbs. Protecting the homeland, not homeland, but homeland, while living out in the country in the woods can sometimes be challenging and the most difficult to protect. It can be very dangerous for those who live outside of the city limits. Then again, it may be more dangerous for us to live in our cities as our crime rates and civil unrest continues to rise. Another one talking about hand-to-hand coverage. A buddy of mine wrote this, Jeff Cook's Rules of Combat. Practice striking in order to avoid getting hit. Practice takedowns to avoid being thrown. Practice ground fighting to avoid going to the ground. If you fail this very critical rule, then strike first, strike hard and often. Throw your opponent to the ground, ground and pound him, and then choke him out while breaking his limbs. That's a buddy of mine who is a survivalist who I sure can carry his own if it comes down to a fight, but you need to learn how to do things. As a modern day warrior, one of the most important points for us to keep in mind is that we must tactically train ourselves daily, both with our mind, body, and a survival spirit. As a modern day warrior, a sheepdog to others, you must carry this survival mindset with you daily in order to overcome the many criminals, terrorists, and wolves of our society. When our streets are filled with violence and lawlessness, a modern day warrior must know what it takes to become a hand-to-hand survivalist. Live long, tactical, and live safely, everyone. I think we've got about 3 minutes left. See if I can touch one of the final things here and roll out. Maybe it's too long. Maybe I need to put it on another. I think I'll put that on another one as we go along. Lots of great information here. Lots of things about protecting ourselves first, last, and always. Our show tomorrow is Stalked by Wolves. We're going to talk about those who are being stalked, you know, whether you're a cabinet member or, supporter, Trump supporter, whatever. Those of you who are conservative radio talk show hosts and stuff that's been stalked, been attacked, felt that your life was threatened. That's what our Chase the Wolf radio show is going to be about tomorrow. We're coming up on about 2 minutes left, so I got a little bit of time. So Stalked by Wolves. Next week's show on Saturday morning at 10, Protecting the Crowd, Creating Your Tribe. We're going to tell you, and share with you how I feel that you should try to, get a tribal element together, a mutual assistance group, if you will, that has the same values, the same protectionist values as I know that many of you who are listening today out there are. We're also going to talk about putting together the following week. We're going to talk about putting together tribal. That was my 90-second cue. A tribal mutual assistance group. We're going to talk about deep state wolves coming up, our Chase the Wolf radio series, Expanding Your Tribe, Triggering Wolves, more about protecting tribe mutual assistance group. I have another show coming up, talk about foreign wolves or wolves afar, foreign wolves and wolves of threats that are terrorists and such as that. I appreciate each and every one of you. I ask that you be safe, that you always try to protect yourself, get trained up, get armed, get prepared, have that survival mindset, each and every one. Thank you for tuning in today to the Chase the Wolf Radio Show. Be on there tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning, same channel, same station, at the Blog Talk Radio Chase the Wolf program. I thank each and every one of you once again, and all I ask you to do is chase the wolf.